to hear and read the Srimad Bhagavatam, currently studying the fifth canto, chapter 14. And I was told that it's verse number 5. It's a long prose verse, so there's no verse on the board. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. The material world as the great forest of enjoyment. Tatra gato dangsha mashaka samapasaddair manujai shalabda shakunta taskara mushakadibir uparudyamana bahi pranakvachit parivartamano smin advani avidyakama karma bir uparakta manasanupa panartam naralokam gandharva nagaram upanam iti mitya drishtir anupasyati. Shall we do the word for word synonyms? No? All right, then we won't. Translation. Can you repeat the translation? All right. Sometimes the conditioned soul in household life, being attached to material wealth and possessions, is disturbed by gadflies and mosquitoes, and sometimes locusts, birds of prey, and rats give him trouble. Nonetheless, he still wanders down the path of material existence. Due to ignorance, he becomes lusty and engages in fruitive activity. Because his mind is absorbed in these activities, he sees the material world as permanent. Although it is temporary, like a phantasmagoria, a house in the sky. Purport. The following song is sung by Narottam Das Thakur. Ahankare mattahoy nittai pada pasariya asatyere satya kari mani. Due to forgetting the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda, and being puffed up by material possessions, wealth, and opulence, one thinks the false temporary material world to be an actual fact. This is the material disease. The living entity is eternal and blissful, but despite miserable material conditions, he thinks the material world to be real and factual due to his ignorance. And that ends Srila Prabhupada's purport to today. Srila Prabhupada ki. So we didn't do the word for word. Let's take a look at some of the word for words here in this verse. So aparudyamana, being disturbed. We are constantly being disturbed here in this material world. Especially in the age of Kali, there is that verse, upadruta, and most of all, always disturbed. We would like to have peace and solace and a nice living condition, but no matter how hard we try, there's always something getting in the way. Even in our devotional life, we try to set up a nice ashram, a nice griha, a nice temple. But what happens? There's always something. There's always somebody causing some problem. There's always something. And as soon as one problem is seemingly solved, guess what? Chapter 2 comes. Another problem. Then chapter 3. One problem after another. There is no happiness or peace in this material existence. It's just not possible. And the reason it's not possible, there's two reasons. Number one, blame it on the designer. What does Krishna say in the Bhagavad Gita? Dukalayam ashasvatam. It is inherent design that this place, whether you call it Los Angeles or whatever, it's full of suffering and it's temporary. Just like they have this thing, planned obsolescence. The capitalists, when they make a car, a computer, cell phone, they make it in such a way it's not designed to last. They make it in such a way that once again, in a year or two, depending on the item, you'll have to come wagging your tail. Could I have another one, please? We've seen it with the cell phone industry. Year after year, they sell you the next best thing. And as soon as you buy it, guess what? We got another one for you. And the one you just bought isn't going to last. Ha, 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 ha. Welcome to the suckers and the suckies. The cheaters and the cheated, as Srila Bhakti Siddhanta. This is what this material world is. I don't care what it is. Movie industry, sports industry, every industry. It's simply cheaters and the cheated. That's why Srimad Bhagavatam is so important. You read Srimad Bhagavatam, you distribute Srimad Bhagavatam so that you don't get cheated and you don't cheat anybody else. Distribution of Srimad Bhagavatam personally and for others is the greatest welfare activity that you can do. Because Srimad Bhagavatam, right from the start, what does it tell you? Any kind of cheating, kicked out. Bhagavatam is beginning with the premise, we're not going to fool you. We're not going to pretend. We're not going to cheat you. We're going to let you have it right between the ears. We're going to tell you what is the truth. That's why we love Prabhupada so much. Those of us who joined this movement when Prabhupada was here, one of the many things we liked about Prabhupada is that he wasn't afraid to say what was the real thing. We would hear other kinds of yogis and swamis and gurus and avatars, and they would speak very, very sweetly, but not Prabhupada. Raw, as it is, explicit lyrics. On those rap albums, they have that parental advisory, explicit lyrics. That's Srimad Bhagavatam. That's Prabhupada. He tells you the plain truth. I've many times given the example of a doctor. Say you're really sick. Something is really hurting you. You don't want to go to a doctor that's going to sugarcoat and tell you, no, tell me what the problem is. Give it to me straight. I want to know what the real problem is. That's the kind of doctor you want. You don't want a doctor to, you're so negative. No. What's the problem? What's the solution? That's what Srimad Bhagavatam is. Especially this chapter. This chapter is so heavy because it's pulling off the veil. It's showing you what is the naked face of what's out there. Not in here. This is the spiritual world. But once you go outside, it's one big matrix. It's one big facade. It's an illusion. And if you're not careful, if you're not intelligent, you'll get sucked right in. And once you get sucked right in, you get spit out. And what happens? Fried, miserable, crying, broken heart. So the thing is, don't fall for the illusion. So this chapter, the material world as a great forest of enjoyment, Shukadeva Goswami is explaining, here is the real face of that material world. This is what's really going on, as we see in today's verse. Some people, devotees, they don't like when the Bhagavatam says negative. Oh, Prabhu, why are you so negative? The problem is, sometimes it's necessary. It can't always be Radha Krishna Leela and sweet, sweet, sweet. It can't always be like that. No. Sometimes you need to hear the straight sauce. That's one good thing about marriage. If you have a good wife, the day will come because you're thinking that I'm this, that, and the other thing, I'm all that. But then one day the wife says, you know what, you're not all that. And you know what? You can fool everybody else, but I see right through you, Nirantara. That's if you have a good wife. She tells you, now, she should tell you sweetly, not like a tigress. Did we have that verse already, the tigress? We had the tigress verse? Yes. You've had experience, Sukadev? The tigress. But it can be said sweetly, but still the plain truth should be there. And it's been my experience. I don't know about you, but my experience, it's very easy to give it, but when it's time for you to take it, it's a whole nother program. What are you talking about? I'm not in Maya. Or we've seen so many times, somebody is dozing in Bhagavatam class, you tap on them. I'm not sleeping. What are you talking? I heard everything you said. Krishna is the Supreme Person. The first episode, the first thing is to admit that I'm in Maya. That's the hardest thing, to get someone to admit that I'm in Maya. I believe that it's a thing, the 12-step program, Alcoholics Anonymous. That's one of the first things that you have to do, is stand up and admit, yes, I'm an alcoholic. Because unless you admit, then you're not going to make any progress because you're continuing to be an illusion. So the same thing, the first thing I have to admit, yes, I am an illusion. Yes, I have been cheated. Yes, I am a cheater. Yes, I'm in Maya. All right, that's the first step. Now the next step is, what are you going to do about it? And that's what Srimad Bhagavatam is all about. How to get out of Maya once and for all. That's the thing. Even, you'll read in Bhagavatam, you can achieve liberation, a temporary liberation. Now, who wants a temporary liberation? The very nature of the word liberation, freedom. You don't want temporary. Just like the snake will capture the mouse, put it in its mouth, and then let it go. So the mouse is thinking, oh, I'm liberated. Nah, nah, nah. In a few minutes, the snake again swallows the mouse, lets it go. And the mouse is thinking, oh, I dodged. Just like Hiranyakashipu. That's how Nrisingadev played with Hiranyakashipu. He would capture him, let him go. And Hiranyakashipu would say, yeah, he's afraid of me now. I'm going to get him now. But then Nrisingadev would capture him again. So the snake does that to us all. The material energy is doing that to us. Swallowing us, give you some relief. Swallowing it. Now, liberation means permanent. Permanent vacation. That's liberation. And this Bhagavatam says, what is that permanent liberation? To be situated in your constitutional position of eternal service to Krishna. That's real liberation. And what we're doing in Krishna consciousness movement is apprenticeship. That Prabhupada uses that word, apprenticeship. Just like in the medieval ages, the young man would go to a master, some kind of master of some material thing. And it was more or less like guru-disciple. You would go to the master, you would learn the art from the master, you would serve him. And by serving, then eventually you will become a master. And that's exactly what Krishna consciousness is. Prabhupada is training us. We are all apprentices. So that when we actually become liberated, then the real devotional service begins. Right now, this is practice. We are practicing. We are learning. Just like I want to get one day a jacket. Pure devotee in training. That's what Krishna consciousness is. To become a pure devotee, we should become pure devotee. So we're pure devotees in training, learning from the ideal pure devotee, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. We want to learn from Him how to be a devotee of Krishna. So He's left us His books. Prabhupada has revealed everything in His books. Didn't Prabhupada say, I put everything in my books? Did He not say that? Yes. Everything is, in fact, when I was Bhakta Nick in Brooklyn Temple, they would tell me, Prabhu, Prabhupada put everything in the first canto. Oh, okay. So even if all you have is first canto, everything is there. And it's been my experience, my realization, you take any one of Prabhupada's books, everything is there. I've read Krishna book now. Over and over again. Everything I need to know is in Krishna book. Everything is there in Bhagavad Gita. Every year we do that Bhagavad Gita Mahayagya. So every year, a month or two before, I do a crash study of Bhagavad Gita. And once again, what is my realization? Everything is there in Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita. Everything is there we need to know. The problem is implementation. That's the hard part. I may know so many shlokas. I may be able to quote, dum da da dum da da dum da da dum. That's all right. But what have I actually implemented? As we say, because I'm from New York, you got to walk the walk and talk the talk. That's Krishna consciousness. Being able to actually, when we read, to actually live it, to put it into practice. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Kali Yuga avatar, understanding our fallen condition here in Kali Yuga, we're so fallen. We're so fallen, we don't know how fallen we are. That's Maya. We have no idea how fallen we are. Because again, Maya tells us, you're okay, no problem. You're all right. There's nothing wrong, Prabhu. Go ahead. Do what you like. You're okay. Don't listen to Prabhupada. Don't listen to the devotees. You're okay. You're fine just as you are. That's Maya. There'll be no improvement there. No improvement. So, Prabhupada's books are teaching us how to improve our Krishna consciousness. If anyone thinks, now I am Krishna conscious, not a good resolution. That's not a good New Year's resolution. No, a good New Year's resolution is, I need to improve. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, understanding our fallen condition, makes it so easy. Just chant the holy name. So we take a vow at the time of initiation. We take a vow to chant 16 rounds every day. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So I can do those 16 rounds in different ways. But if I'm serious, if I'm sincere, then I want to do it better. I want to improve the quality of the hearing, the quality of the concentration, the quality of the feeling. I've been preaching this a lot lately in my Namahat programs. I gave an example. It's a mundane example, but just like, say, you want something from somebody. Right? Say you want something. So you can say to somebody, I want that. Or you can say, Prabhu, I really need that. Which one do you think is going to be more effective? Or just like a girl. A girl is hearing from somebody, I love you, right? But she's listening for that one where the person really means it. So when I'm chanting, I can chant like this. Or I can chant with feeling. What does Prabhupada say? Like a child crying for its mother. But I don't chant like a child crying for its mother. I chant like a rooster. No, I need to improve the quality of my chanting and make it really calling out. Because what are we saying? What are we saying in the Maha Mantra? We are saying, O energy of the Lord, O Srimati Radharani, O Krishna, please engage me in your service. That's what we're saying. And what's my problem? My problem is, yeah, I'm asking for service, and then when it comes, no, I don't want to do it. So what am I telling Krishna? Krishna is giving me so much service. He's answering my call. And when the service comes, I don't take it seriously. That's not good. Krishna will certainly give us service. There's no doubt about it. As Lord Chaitanya told Amoga on his deathbed, Amoga, if you get up and chant, Krishna will unfailingly give you his mercy. So what is that mercy? He gives you service. And I've also been preaching this lately too, that when you get a service, don't let it go. Hold on to that service. I think there's some statement by Srila Bhakti Siddhanta on his the last thing Bhakti Siddhanta wrote. Your service, which is your all and all. Is that right, Archita? Did he say like that? So, we all have some service. Or you may be thinking, Prabhu, I got too much service. Some people may think like that. But when you're given some service, take that service, don't let it go, and make that service your life and soul. Prabhupada, what did he do? He was given a service by Srila Bhakti Siddhanta. He never forgot that order. He was given that service. Go to the West. Spread the Krishna consciousness movement. What would have happened if Prabhupada said, well, you know, Bhakti Siddhanta said that. Yeah, but I'm in Vrindavan. And I'm realizing Krishna. Eh. What if Prabhupada thought like that? Where would we be? I know where I would be. I've told you many times. If Prabhupada hadn't come, I know I'd be dead, lying in some gutter in Las Vegas, or maybe in Greenwich Village, right? But fortunately, Prabhupada didn't listen to anyone. All Prabhupada could do was remember, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta told me to go to the West. And so many people tried to discourage him. Sumati Muraji. Everyone was discouraging him. You're too old. You're going to die. But thank God Prabhupada said, talk to the hand. All Prabhupada could do is remember what Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur told him. What did Prabhupada hear? One of the best ones. They're at Radhakund. They're at Radhakund, the most sacred place in the universe. Is Bhakti Siddhanta telling Prabhupada what is his Siddha Swarup? No. If you get money, print books. That's what he was told at Radhakund. Practical devotional service. That is our movement. Practical devotional service. And I've been studying now for the past 2 weeks. The book, Preaching is the Essence. Just reading that book. And I'm finding I'm getting fired up for my service. By reading that book every day, I'm getting fired up to do my service. Because we need to be fired up about our service. Utsahan. The first principle of success. You have to be enthusiastic. You have to be enthusiastic about renouncing this material world. You have to be enthusiastic. You have to be enthusiastic about spitting on sex life. You can't be blasé, nonchalant. No, you have to be enthusiastic to follow the four regulative principles. You have to be very, very enthusiastic. No illicit sex, no intoxication, no meat eating, no gambling. And not just that, you have to be enthusiastic about it. You got to be fired up. When you're a new devotee, or when you're a Sankirtan devotee, and you have a Sankirtan leader, he's always, hey Prabhu, you fired up Prabhu? Prabhu, you fired up now? Right? Or when you're doing a kirtan, the devotees are looking at you, Prabhu, come on. We want to get fired up here. So, utsahan, enthusiasm. So we have to be enthusiastic about performing our service. And Prabhupada writes in the Bhagavad Gita, how should I think? I have been given this service by Krishna. So, if I'm given the service to sweep the floor, I have to think, this service was given by Krishna. It's not a material, I can't think. What? Hey man, I'm a college graduate. What are these guys telling? Like when I joined, what were they telling me? Alright, Bhakta Nick, because you go to the morning program, you're chanting, you're hearing class, take a nice breakfast. Alright, Bhakta Nick, clean all the stool rooms. Yes, I had to be Jai Prabhu Haribol. So whatever the service I'm given, I have to be enthusiastic. Otherwise, my Krishna consciousness will be slack. I'll not make as much advancement as I could. So enthusiasm. If anything, at least be enthusiastic for prasadam. Jai. Hey, it's worked for me for all these years. Because if you're enthusiastic at least for that, then there's a hope that you can continue. So enthusiasm is so important. In the service that I have to be enthusiastic to hear and chant. Otherwise, if I don't hear and chant, there's no way I can do my preaching. I have to be ahead of the curve. I have to know Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, Nectar of Devotion, Chaitanya Charitamrita. So I have to be enthusiastic every day. Get up every day, chant and study Prabhupada's books. There's no alternative. Sink or swim. That's Krishna consciousness. Sink or swim. Do or die. Make or break. So, hopefully, something I said encourages you, enthuses you, enlivens you. And if not, well, I tried. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. So there's some notes on the internet, as Mayapur Shashi has given me the service to check the internet. It says 43 current visitors. Well, all 43 visitors on the internet, Hari Bol, hope you do well. And somebody said, I won't, but somebody said, strong speaker, great class. And somebody else says, he always gives great classes, which much food for thought. Thank you. I am verklempt. Thank you very much. But do we have any questions, comments, criticisms? Oh, Drutta Karma, hit me with your best shot. Go ahead. Oh, okay.
You mentioned in your class how Srila Prabhupada followed the order that he was given by his spiritual master.
And yes.
You mentioned the importance of that. But actually, he got the order when he was in his 20s, in the 1920s or something, and he didn't actually follow it until over 40 years later. So is it acceptable to delay following an order? He said he was preparing.
So
can I just say I'm preparing? I'm getting ready. Just
okay. So you may be given an order or instruction, and you may not be able to execute it. That's one thing. But you cannot resent the order, and you cannot reject the principle. So for so many reasons, he was not able to execute, but he never stopped thinking about it. He never stopped pursuing it, and he never rationalized it. So that's the key, I would say, that you may be given, after all, it was not some ordinary instruction like, can you take me to the airport? It wasn't some, trivial instruction like, can you get me a glass of water? We're talking about an instruction that is completely mind-boggling. Who is going to go to a foreign country, right, and start a worldwide mission? He needed to get prepared. At least he felt that way. So it wasn't some cheap or simple instruction like, where's the bathroom? Can you show him? No. It was a monumental instruction. So the disciple gets the instruction and meditates on it and tries his best how to do it. Then when he is blessed by Krishna, then he can be successful. How would you answer your own rhetorical question? Can you give him the microphone back, please?
I think you and I were both there in Atlanta in 1975.
Yes.
Do you recall? On Bhaktisiddhanta's appearance day or something?
And yes.
Srila Prabhupada gave a lecture, and he was saying, but don't you wait 40 years to follow the order.
Oh, I don't remember that, but he did say that.
So we're under instruction not to wait 40 years to follow whatever instruction we're given.
Yes. Very good. All right. You were next, and then you.
The way I see that is that Prabhupada was given a simple instruction to preach in the English language, but Prabhupada's manifestation of fulfilling that order became this incredibly beautiful and complex answer, which was to start ISKCON and spread it all over the world. But the instruction that he got was fairly simple, and he began to follow that instruction right away, even as a grihasta, he was writing in English in BTGs, I guess. He was creating those BTG back then and writing and trying to preach in the English language. I don't know if that's correct. That's my perception of it.
I like that. Goridas Pandit Dasa, over here. Unless I miss somebody. Yes, Prabhu?
Hey, Prabhupada writes in his preface to the Krishna book at the end there that simply by reading this Krishna book, one's love of Godhead will fructify. And he says also in one of the chapters that we can get the same pleasure as Nanda Maharaj and the gopis did by repeating the Krishna book, by hearing the Krishna book. And in Vrindavan, when I was his servant, he used to have us read to him. And we said, Prabhupada, you wrote these books. How is it that you like to hear your own books? And he said, I did not write these books. Krishna wrote these books through me.
Say that again, nice and loud, so that everybody on the internet hears you.
Prabhupada said that I did not write these books. Krishna wrote these books through me.
Who wrote these books?
Krishna.
Hari Bol.
But he used Prabhupada as an instrument.
Jai.
So you were saying earlier that Prabhupada gave us the sauce, but also the bulk of the preaching was nectar, like the Krishna book. And then he added the sauce to just spice it up. Because you're right, we need to have the sauce so we can enjoy the nectar. And I was there in 1975 also. You were the one who asked Prabhupada that question. How can
yes.
he please you the most? What was his answer?
Prabhupada said, when you love Krishna.
Jai.
Jai. Archita, thank you. That was very nice comments. Very nice.
Thank you very much for a wonderful class, Naranja Prabhu. I'll just share something with the audience. Whenever Naranja Prabhu gives a class, he always asks me afterwards, was that a single, double, triple, or home run? Home run! Ki Jai. Hari Bol. Thank you very much. Now, you brought up a very important point about Prabhupada's books, because sometimes, being the person that schedules a class, I have to hear a lot of questions and comments about classes. We become a little bit diverted from our concentration on the way Prabhupada wants classes to be given, which he set the perfect example himself. Every Sunday we're hearing a lecture, and hopefully we'd listen to more lectures beyond that. Prabhupada always stuck with the topic at hand. Wherever he was in the Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita, if he was in setting the scene, then he would speak elaborately about the different kings and this and that. If he was in chapter 18, then he would speak elaborately about what was going on there. Prabhupada set the example, whatever's in the verse, that's what you speak on. His purport's generally always related to the exact thing that was in the verse. Even when he gave classes, if you understand the Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, he's always paraphrasing verses that are in the Bhagavatam and the Bhagavad Gita. So my point is, those devotees who become restless for the nectar, they've not listened correctly. Sanjaya at the end of the Bhagavad Gita says his hair was standing on end, remembering the conversation between Krishna and Arjuna. Neophyte devotees, and Prabhupada also spoke about this, that especially in India, they don't want to hear Bhagavad Gita because that's too ghastly. It's warfare. They want to talk about Bal Krishna or Gopi Krishna. But Arjuna and Krishna, that's not interesting to them. But Sanjaya, remembering the conversation between Arjuna and Krishna, is here, we're standing on end. So as we advance in Krishna consciousness, we will begin to not see any distinction between this Krishna and that Krishna. Krishna is Krishna. So Krishna speaking on the battlefield of Kurukshetra is not different from Gopi Krishna or Bal Krishna. And the devotee derives as much ecstasy remembering the verses of Bhagavad Gita as remembering Gopi Gita.
All right. Anything else? We have 1 minute. Everybody's happy? Anything else? Tawas, anything you want to set the record straight? All right. Thank you, Prabhus. All glories to Srila Prabhupada and your devotional service. Hari Bol. Thank you. Hari Bol.
You were saying in your class about how we have to follow regular principles, not just follow them, but really enthusiastically.
Yeah.